And we do. So we're part of a mega church. We are, because we're part of God's kingdom no matter where we're at. And we're part of that whole, can't think of the word, it's the church. Esculacia, yeah. Ecclesia, or some kind of disease. People will think wrong about that. Oh, Father, we just give this over to you. Father, I'm not sure where you want to take it now. But I pray you give me the words. Let my heart be attentive to your words. And let me speak only those that you give me. Amen. Amen. We've talked a lot about words. We've talked about speaking God's truth in our lives. We've talked about what God has done in our lives. Today, I'm going to take a look at it from sort of a different viewpoint. A viewpoint of strongholds. The word strongholds has been on Steph's mind for a while. And what that means and what is entailed in those strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, of course, is a fortress that people hide into, a fortress that contains the essentials to practice war and to sustain life. That's the stronghold in a castle. That's a stronghold outside in different areas of a kingdom is where they store those things necessary to engage in battle and to survive. It's also an area dominated or occupied by a group or an area. They would say that we are in a Republican stronghold, right? Because the ideology within the community around us is geared towards the conservative Republican mindset. Good or bad, that's what it is. So how are these strongholds developed and how are these strongholds made? In other words, can this area of Corona that is considered to be a conservative stronghold be the opposite? Be a liberal stronghold? Be an area where the liberals would win every election? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. Yes, it can. But how can it? How can a stronghold for Christ, how can a stronghold for a Republican, how can a stronghold for anything that we believe in be changed, be brought down? It's brought down by one thought at a time, by one nudge at a time. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 10:3 today, 10:3 through 5 today. It says, "For we live in the world. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Tearing down strongholds. If we move over to Proverbs 12, 21, 12, 22, it says, "A wise man, someone that has wisdom, scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted strongholds." Brings down the trusted strongholds. So what are really strongholds? Strongholds in our life, what are they? A stronghold in someone's life is anything they put their trust into. The stronghold is what your trust is based upon. Is it based on something other than God? We know what our strongholds are. We know what we trust in. When things start going awry, when things don't go the way we think they should, where do we go? Do we turn to God or do we turn to our finances? do we turn to our spouse, our friends, our thought processes? Do we rely on others? Do we rely on ourselves? Or do we rely on God? That shows you where your stronghold is. It's always a trust issue with God in our stronghold. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say without prayer. It doesn't say without Bible reading. It doesn't say without even meditation, works, anything. It's without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's, what do you trust in? Do you trust in yourself, or do you trust in God? Do you trust in the government, or do you trust in God? The problem with our lives is we believe the thoughts that we have. Because it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage as the world does. We do not wage with those arguments. We do not wage with our thought processes of, you know, science and just carnal weapons. On the contrary, we take every thought captive to the knowledge of God. Our war is in our thought processes, not in the carnal. The strongholds are formed when we start thinking wrongly. If we have a poor self-image, if we don't think of ourselves as God sees us, then that gets to be a stronghold, a demonic stronghold in our life that holds us down, that weights us down, that takes us away from God. And the crazy thing about it is that stronghold, when it got root in us, no matter what happens around us, we see things that strengthen that stronghold. Someone could say, have a nice day. But because our mindset is in such a position, the way they said it would reinforce that they don't like us, that we are junk, that we have nothing to do with them. Why? It had nothing to do with that. But because Satan has a stronghold in our hearts because of our thought processes, we automatically go that route. And we are to break the strongholds that grab us. Some of the strongholds that we deal with, men do, is pride. We are very prideful, men are, because we have a strength in what we do. We have this natural instinct to rely, to have strength, to work what we're doing with our hands, with our minds. We are occupied with our occupation. And that for us a lot of times is a stronghold. It's not bad what we do, but is it what we trust in? Or do we trust in the one that gave us that job? The other thing too we see is our thought patterns towards others. We have in our mind what we think others are like. We think, we know that person. We've seen their life. God's not going to do anything in their life. We start thinking that way. Our thought processes are starting to look at others the same way. We see them as unredeemable. We see them as not being able to reach by God, or we see them as they are a hard nut to crack. And then we start seeing what we want to in their lives. So we go to social media. We look at Facebook. We look at TikTok. We look at anything that we're on, Instagram. And we see their posts. We see what they're doing in their lives. And what do we pull from that? We pull out what we believe about them. We think they're selfish. We think they're bad. We think that they are the worst thing on earth. They could have this whole long exposé of what they're doing, and we pull out these to justify that they're bad, they're wrong, that they don't know what they're doing, that God can't redeem them. What do we do when we do that? When we look at others and say, God can't have their way in them, we're producing a stronghold. not necessarily in them, but from us. It's a stronghold, it's an area that we are now out of the picture of the redemption of that person to Christ. We are removing our position to be able to influence them and the redemption of Christ. We put strongholds on too many things. We put our trust in way too much. The thing with those type of things and the thought processes that Satan and the demonic put into us is those strongholds make it a separation of what our theology is to what our reality is. We often have a theology, nothing is impossible with God. We have a theology, God heals, God provides. Our lifestyle says something different because we don't believe it. We say it, our theology, our head can say it, but our heart doesn't believe it. Our heart doesn't believe what God has for us. What I like to think about is that it says that Christ on the throne, the Lamb of God. In Scripture, we see that God, Christ, is both talked about as the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. In heaven, He is the Lamb sitting on the throne because He Himself has conquered sin. There is no need for the Lion. The Lion seeks to destroy what is not right. The Lamb offers forgiveness. And in heaven, there is only the Lamb. That says that we have to let Him do our fighting. So what strongholds should we have? I guess before we... Yeah, we'll go into that now because I have to finish early. I have to do the Reader's Digest version of my Reader's Digest version. In Nahum 1:6, Nahum is an obscure Old Testament verse or an Old Testament Bible. Don't get to it often. But it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. That the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. What should our stronghold be? Our stronghold should be the revelation of the goodness of God. He created us. He redeemed us. He made the universe. We have to trust in the goodness of God. So what that means is when the thoughts come, we need to trust in the one that created us, knowing that He has our back and that He will take care of the problem. We have to capture and take every thought that we get, negative about ourselves, negative about others, and conform it to the mindset of Christ. It says the obedience of Christ, but it's the mindset of Christ. Grabbing our minds and conforming it to His. So that we no longer see the wrong, we see the possibilities of redemption. We rely on the goodness of God. Do we rely on the goodness of God? Do we trust that tomorrow, when everything is going haywire, the surgery is not going well at all, that God has my back? that it's going to be okay. The clients are right with me. He has my back. It's going to be okay. But many times I trust in my own ability to talk to people and to discuss the influences or to what's going on. But I got to trust God will take care of it. Now, he may use me, but my job is not to prove anybody wrong, but to bring the redemptive work of Christ into their life. That God is good. That God is good. I'm trying to think where else he wants me to go with this today. It's because it's been pretty short here. But it boils down, it really does boil down to trust. Trust that he knows us. Trust that he has everything good for us. To capture those thoughts that we have towards others and correct them. To remove the wrong thoughts. Many times in vet medicine, we'll have a wound. A dog will get hurt, cat will get hurt. A lot of times it's blunt force trauma. Bam. In other words, just a big hit, or the ones that's worse, that we see the animal right away and we start treating it. And the healing process begins. This tissue under the skin gets to be healed. But on the outside of the skin, the vessels have been damaged because of the injury. It looks good. Everything looks fine. But as time goes on, the next 3 to 5 days, we see the skin starting to get a little bit dry. We see it losing its vitality. And it just covers the wound. And it hinders the healing process underneath. It hinders the ability for that wound to really cleanse itself and to be healed. The wound will still heal. The wound will still try to heal. But there's necrotic tissue. There's tissue that is dead and not viable on top of that. What we need to do is we need to put them under surgery, under sedation, or even not under sedation. It hurts like crazy. But we go in and what we call debride those wounds. We go in and we take out all the dead necrotic tissue. We even go down as some of the healing fresh tissue in order to expose even more healing process. We remove all that dead stuff in order for the live wound underneath to heal. And that's the only way it can heal. In the strongholds, we have to let God remove all the junk, all the thoughts. We have to hold him captive that we can get a stronghold in just who he is. We need to trust, put all our trust in him. Next time I speak, we're going to talk about another stronghold that's going to be broken. And today, I just want you to know that he is good, that we can trust in him, and we need to trust in that revelation that God is good. I think we want to finish today. I asked them, and they said we can, that we're going to come up and we're going to finish by singing that goodness of God, that we can sing, that we can proclaim the goodness of God, because in him we trust that he is going to have our back, that he is good towards us. So, Aunt Isaac, do you want to come on up?